and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Jake Neer, sitting in for Stephen Henderson. A little later in the show, we're going to have a big conversation about the child welfare system in America. University of Pennsylvania law professor and sociologist Dorothy Roberts says America's child welfare system has done immense damage, especially to African American families. We'll talk about her book, Torn Apart. But first, right now we're more than 2 months into the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Between Ukrainians' surprising ability to fend off Russian troops and hold on to their country, as well as the horrors of war that we've seen in recent weeks, the questions about where this is all headed and how long it will continue only get more complicated over time. U.S. Senator Gary Peters of Michigan has just returned from official Senate travel in France, Italy, and Georgia. He was part of a U.S. delegation discussing ways to strengthen Americans' transatlantic alliance and maintain a united front against Russia and its aggression in Ukraine. The delegation met with U.S. diplomats abroad, senior foreign government officials, and leaders of those European countries. He also met with exiled Russian journalists and dissidents. Senator Gary Peters joined me earlier this morning to talk about that trip and more. Here's our conversation. Senator Gary Peters, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Oh, good to be with you, Jake. Thank you.
So let's start with this trip that you just got back from. Why was this trip necessary, and what did you achieve?
Well, the trip was necessary for a couple of reasons. One is to strengthen our relations with our allies and to make sure that we are all aligned in our strength against the Russian aggression, the Putin war against Ukraine. So meeting with key allies in France and Italy was important. We discussed how our governments are going to continue to provide military aid to the Ukrainian military, as well as humanitarian aid to deal with humanitarian disaster, both in Ukraine as well as refugees coming into their country, our country, and other countries. But we also wanted to spend some time in Georgia. The folks in Georgia are incredibly concerned that they are next. They border Russia. Currently, roughly a third of their country is being occupied by Russian soldiers from an incursion back in 2008. In fact, as we sat in the capital city in Georgia, we were roughly 25 miles away from Russian soldiers that had occupied part of the country, and clearly, they could move into the capital city very quickly. So the Georgians want to know that the United States and the West and democracies across the world will support them during a very scary time for them.
Are there any signs or concerns of any fraying in the sort of unity that the United States has had with European allies?
No, in fact, I was encouraged that it just seems stronger than ever. NATO is very strong. I mean, without a question, all of the key officials we met in Italy and France were completely focused on making sure that Ukraine can push back against Putin and survive and have the resources that they need. And we also talked about how this is a real key development for the future of NATO and for our alliances, that we have to stand together against these authoritarian governments, these dictatorships that are attacking democracy, and democracies of the world have to understand that this is a real threat. We have to continue to make sure we have both strong economy and strong military to make sure that we can stand up against these authoritarians that are a threat to world democracy.
And you also met with exiled Russians in Georgia. What did they tell you? What did you hear from them?
Yeah, the Russians, they were journalists who left Russia because of the fear that they have, that they will be imprisoned. And so they were in Georgia. They were still engaged in their activities, particularly through social media, in order to get the information out to the Russian citizens as to what's actually happening in Ukraine. Although they were very clear that the state media that's run by the Russian government, run by Mr. Putin, makes it very difficult to get the story to the Russian people, who are constantly being bombarded by misinformation and disinformation. The same kind of campaigns the Russians are engaged in outside of Russia as well. We certainly see that here in the United States, the Russian campaigns of misinformation. It's evident in Europe and particularly in Georgia, where they're constantly bombarded by those messages. But these were some courageous Russian journalists who are standing up to that. and continuing to put out information, but certainly they outline the challenge that involves.
Through the end of this trip, I'm curious, did you come away with any concrete next steps?
Well, the concrete next steps is that we need to continue to provide additional support for the Ukrainians. It's clear that they need to continue to get military support, particularly some heavy armaments that's now going into Ukraine. Long-range artillery, for example, is critically important as the Russians move to this next phase of the Putin war in Donbass, which will require heavy artillery. That's being provided. And advanced weapons are being provided by both the French military and the Italian military as well. And the need to continue to do that and to step it up was pretty clear.
Mm. I want to change the subject a little bit. You're one of a number of Democrats right now in Congress who is pushing against the Biden administration's move toward ending Title 42 at the southern border. For those who don't know, that's the Trump-era public health order that stopped migrants and asylum seekers from crossing the border into the U.S. due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Since then, the CDC has said just recently that there's no public health reason to continue that order. You've supported reopening travel to vaccinated people on our border with Canada to the north. Why are you skeptical of this change?
Well, my view is simply I need to have information as to how we're going to handle what will likely be a surge of folks on the southern border. As chair of Homeland Security, my job is oversight of security of the homeland and to make sure that border security is first and foremost in our minds. And so I've asked the administration to provide for us a plan as to how they're going to deal with this surge. Or we're going to have a hearing next week in my committee. We're going to have Secretary Mayorkas before us. He'll be answering questions that we have. We're going to have another more detailed hearing on the southern border in next week as well, particularly to deal with fentanyl and drugs that are coming across the southern border. So my view has simply has not been opposed to lifting Title 42. It's about I want to make sure the administration has a comprehensive plan. That's my job as chair of the committee to provide oversight, to make sure we have a comprehensive plan in place. And if we're going to need additional resources or additional support to make sure that happens properly, Congress needs to be there providing that type of support. We need to be working in conjunction with the executive office to make sure that our borders are secure and that resources are available.
And are there concrete things that you want to see in that plan? Are there things that you think must be a part of the president's plan or the administration's plan to end this Title 42 that would get your support?
Well, I think there's a variety of things. There is a comprehensive report that was just put out that I will be going over in the coming days and then ask questions related to that report when Secretary Mayorkas and other Homeland Security officials are before us next week. But if we do have a surge of folks coming across the border, we want to make sure that folks are being handled with dignity and appropriately. There needs to make sure we have humanitarian issues that are being addressed on the border. We certainly saw the last administration prior to this administration how horribly they handled the situation on the southern border. We have to make sure that we're doing a much better job this time when it comes to handling folks who are coming across the border and applying for asylum. I certainly would like to see the asylum process sped up dramatically. Right now, when someone crosses the border and asks for asylum, the process can take up to 8 years, before that process works through the system. That's simply unacceptable. When I was in France, we talked about border issues, immigration issues in France, and the French are able to do this process in well less than a year, and yet here in the United States, it takes 8 years. That has to change.
And Senator, I know you have to get going. I did want to note that you were recently selected to serve on the conference committee to finalize the U.S. Economic Competitiveness Package that's passed both chambers on Capitol Hill. And a big part of that is boosting semiconductor production, which has been a huge supply chain issue here in the United States for the auto industry and others. I did want to ask about what the some of the underlying issues there, even if there are skeptics who say that even if you did increase manufacturing capability here in the United States for semiconductors, many of the raw materials needed for those semiconductors come from places like Russia and China. Wouldn't that supply issue be wouldn't that remain a significant bottleneck?
Well, we have supply chain issues across the supply chain, from raw materials to other component parts. And those are exactly the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about as to how do we make these supply chains more secure. Certainly, though, the manufacturing is the issue before us right now. Most of the chips that we use in our everyday products, including automobiles, and certainly we're seeing the impact in Michigan very directly with the shortage of chips in our automobiles, which currently contain thousands of these chips in every automobile. We can't keep shipping this stuff overseas and being reliant on foreign countries to sort of ship them to the United States. To me, these are homeland security, national security interests that have to be located here in the United States. And with the chips demand is only going to go up. It's not going to go down in the future. As we in automobiles, for example, as you electrify, those require even more chips. As we move to self-driving technologies that will increase the safety of vehicles dramatically, that will require even more chips. And as artificial intelligence continues to drive so much of our economy, that will require a lot of chips. So we have to be thinking comprehensively about this from a manufacturing standpoint and secure supply chains for raw materials. So certainly all of those factors are things that we need to be addressing right now.
U.S. Senator Gary Peters, a Democrat from Michigan, thank you so much for joining us today on Detroit Today.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
All right, coming up on Detroit Today, we'll hear from University of Pennsylvania law professor and sociologist Dorothy Roberts about her book, Torn Apart, How the Child Welfare System Destroys Black Families, and How Abolition Can Build a Safer World.